Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik, and in for Jessica Tai, it's Telly Hughes.
So they got the Spain and Belgium game that has just started. I didn't realize it, but we're down to the quarterfinals now of the World Cup. And had the U.S. not laid an egg against Belgium, they'd be playing for this opportunity to go to essentially the Final Four, which is kind of rare territory for the U.S. men's team. But they played a bad match against a pretty good team in Belgium. They're on the pitch right now against Spain. I've been fascinated by the World Cup, I'll be honest, and I think it's largely because games are not being played at 5 in the morning across the world. It's a North American event, so games are on at more normal times. But regardless of the teams playing, I've been pretty into it. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so your enthusiasm hasn't kind of slowed down since the U.S. has been knocked out? You still very much into it the way you were when the U.S. was still playing?
Still some big names left in it, right? Yeah. You think about that. And my kids are all into Holland. The guy from Norway, this 6'5" monster that looks like Thor running around the soccer pitch. Hey, why is he faster than everybody and bigger than everybody? And how is he scoring all these goals? Like, he is a name. And Erik Bielstad, by the way, has got the Norwegian flag draped around himself walking around the offices today. He's a big-time Norway guy.
Okay, yeah. So I guess, the enthusiasm is still there. I know the stadiums are still packed out.
Oh, no doubt.
And so, yeah.
No doubt. I was in the Atlanta airport on, Tuesday, and this is right after Argentina had pulled off a miraculous win over Egypt. I mean, they were down 2-0 with like 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
They scored 3 goals to win it behind Messi, which was insane. But that game was in Atlanta, and all the Argentina people were trying to figure out where the heck Kansas City is. How do I get there? Where is that? And they're like going through their paper, like, yeah, here it is. How do we get there? Hey, I go to Nashville, and then we can get to. It was pretty funny to watch.
That is.
They're making their way here in the United States.
Here's your top 2 at 2 on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Well, number one, President Trump says he will not sign the bipartisan housing affordability bill that is due to become law tonight. Now, if he vetoes it, it's out momentarily. If he does nothing, then it actually goes into law. ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
The 21st Century Road to Housing Act would exempt certain projects from environmental reviews, expand financing for affordable housing, and restrict large institutional investors from owning more than 350 single-family homes. It passed in both houses with scant opposition. But President Trump says he won't sign it, quote, in protest of the Senate's refusal to pass the voter ID and citizenship requirements of the Save America Act. If he doesn't veto the bill by midnight, it will become law without his signature. That sort of thing hasn't happened in nearly a decade.
It originally passed with immense bipartisan support. I mean, this was an 85-5 vote in the Senate and a 358-32 vote in the House. So overwhelmingly, people were in favor of this. Lawmakers possessed the margins necessary to override a presidential veto should that come later today.
Number two, the family of the Mississippi teenager whose body was found off a barrier island and is demanding answers and calling for an independent autopsy. Nolan Wells was last seen on July 4th celebrating the holiday with friends out on a boat near Horn Island. That's when police say Wells disappeared and his remains were found in the water a couple days later. Christine Wansley is Wells' mother, and she tells Good Morning America that the family needs justice.
At the end of the day, I would hope any parent would fight for their kids to find out if anything happened, what did happen. So we just want honesty and transparency. We want a thorough investigation. We want that same respect that would be given to anybody else, and that's it. We just want answers.
The family discovered that text messages were deleted from Wells' phone. Additionally, Wells' cell phone was returned to his father, meaning he did not have it with him when he vanished. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office is currently treating the investigation as active and ongoing, and no foul play has been officially suspected.
Well, the Milwaukee Bucks are returning to its roots. They'll return to full-season over-the-air television for the first time in 31 years. Here's what it sounded like back then.
Live from Nichols Sports Arena in Denver, Colorado. The Milwaukee Bucks take on the Denver Nuggets. Live on Fox 24.
Yeah, Ricky Pierce had 21 points that day. All five Bucks starters scored in double figures. That was 1989. It was likely right after a rerun of Three's Company or the Ropers. The first over-the-air broadcast in 31 years will appear on My 24, with the first game being a summer league game on Sunday at 8 o'clock. The Bucks are in Vegas beginning summer league play today. And one of the men who helped orchestrate the whole deal is joining us on the line right now. Bucks president Josh Glessing is with us. Hey, Josh.
Well, first, hey, good to see you. Good to hear from you. First things first, you're killing me talking about the weather as the lead into this as I get ready to fly to Las Vegas, where it's 110 degrees for summer league games.
You got to be there. You got to be there for the first broadcast, though. You got to be there.
I know.
Well, this is exciting stuff here, Josh. It just kind of takes me back. It's sort of a flashback. I remember watching Jim Paschke and John McLaughlin on My 24, quite literally after an episode of Three's Company, pop on with Bucks basketball. And it seems like finding your favorite sports team is just increasingly more difficult in today's landscape of streaming devices and so on. Was that part of the calculus to try and keep this local for Bucks fans?
Yeah, I think there were a number of things that were a part of the calculus. And one of the big things that's different between today and 1989 is 1989, that was the only way to get Bucks basketball games. One, you had to be local. And two, that was the only path to get it. You fast forward to today, you know, Bucks fans all over the world can get Bucks games through the NBA League Pass. And then locally, we want to be in as many households in the state of Wisconsin as we can be. And this allows us, with no friction, to be in every household. And it's not just being on My 24, but it is also for those cord cutters. And I'm going to use a little bit of jargon here, but what are called the MVPDs, which are the YouTube TVs and the Hulus, those people that actually have cut the cord, they can still see My 24 on whatever platform they use to get games. And likewise, and we'll announce this later, we will have the All Bucks Plus solution too for people who just want a true streaming option. And we'll create as many ways as possible for our fans to access Bucks games. But at the core of that are free Milwaukee Bucks games on My 24 in Southeast Wisconsin. Again, later we will announce a broader statewide network. Because My 24 isn't across the entire state, so we've got other partners lined up, and we'll announce those, and hopefully not the not too distant future, to ensure that we get the entire state of Wisconsin.
Josh, there are other teams around the league that have gone to this format in terms of having games over the air. Did you all kind of investigate or do your research and use them as models on what to do and what not to do?
Yeah, we talk to everybody. Some of the teams that have done this before us, you know, Portland, Utah, Phoenix, we've had conversations with all of them. There are a number of other teams right now that are solving for the same thing that we're solving for, is what's the best way to distribute games next season for our fans. And we've talked to the other people who are going through this process as well, because there are different ways to lead with your local rights. And you know, the good thing about the NBA is while we compete with the Chicago Bulls and the San Antonio Spurs on the court, and there are a finite number of wins in every season and a finite number of losses in every season, and we are competing for those things, we work together really well collaboratively and we may not always agree, and we don't always have to agree as it relates to our local businesses. That's one of the beauties of the league, is we can work together to find structures that work, don't work. And every market is unique and every market is different. And I won't bore you with the nuances of the difference between Milwaukee and Orlando as it relates to local media rights. But you can learn a lot through conversations.
Bucks president Josh Glessing joining us here on WTMJ. Games will first appear on My 24 beginning on Sunday as part of the Vegas Summer League. Then preseason, regular season games will appear on over-the-air television. Josh, I'm going to use the Brewers as an example because I think it's relatable. You guys had the same national outlet in FanDuel. Those kind of things just sort of fell apart over time. MLB had an appetite to pick up production of broadcasts, and now Brewers TV exists. Do you envision at some point the NBA will have a similar appetite to control production of broadcasts, and maybe there will be a Bucks TV?
I think there are constant conversations on what is best for the league and what is best for our fans. To sit here today and say that I envision it may be unfair, but I do think it's going to continue to evolve. You know, I think these things naturally evolve, as do so many things, both in terms of media and then also the consumer. You know, 10 years ago, the RSN model was the model, and cord cutting wasn't really a thing. Well, that's changing. And what we have to do in conjunction with our partners across the league, and admittedly in conjunction with other leagues as well, and Rick Schlesinger over at the Brewers and I have had a number of conversations about what they're doing and what that looks like and the rationale, and they've been great partners as well. It is a constantly evolving thing because media is changing, our consumers are changing, and our job is to not commit to anything until we have to, and to not be definitive, because the world's changing. The way people consume media and content is changing. But the exciting thing for us right now, as we think about the 26-27 season, is, again, for the first time since 89, we're going to put Milwaukee Bucks games everywhere in the state of Wisconsin.
Josh, as Bucks president, your work is never done. You said you're headed to Vegas for summer.
I was told it was done this week. They told me if we announced this, it was done.
Well, I'm sure this is not just a pleasure trip to go out to Vegas. What does a trip entail for the Bucks president when he goes to Las Vegas for summer league?
I'd say it's probably threefold, and as I talk about it out loud, that may change. It's one, spending, it's the place where all of the teams get together. So I'm spending time with my counterparts across the league, listening, learning. You know, and me, I'm 6 months on the job and, you know, developing relationships, spending time with our players that are there, and John Horst and Taylor Jenkins and, you know, some of our new guys. You know, whether through draft or through trade, they're all in Vegas right now. So spend a little bit of time with them, watch basketball, you know, as we evaluate talent to determine what exactly the final pieces of the roster are going to look like, what the final pieces of the herd are going to look like, who's going to be on a two-way contract, you know, get our first real game evaluations of some of the new guys, Burries and Nate Ament, that we've drafted this year. And then also spend time with our ownership group, who will be out there as well, and ownership groups from across the league. And it's probably the best place throughout the year for relationship building, ideation, and quite frankly, work. Because the All-Star game in the middle of the season, a lot of people want to take that as a break because the season is long, and it's not necessarily the same aggregation of people that Summer League has become.
Well, Sunday's Summer League game against the Spurs will be televised on My24. I got a couple notes coming in on the text line, Josh. I'm curious because, you know, the NBA's got partnerships not unlike Major League Baseball and the NFL, where, you know, game might appear on ESPN or Amazon Prime or something like that. Do you know what the blackout restrictions might mean for those in southeastern Wisconsin if a game is picked up by one of these other platforms?
So the national TV games will still supersede these. So if a game is on NBC, it wouldn't be on My24. The beauty of NBC, though, is it is the same from a reach as local. So this is different than the RSN model. So they will still be available in the same way. It'll just be on the national channel.
Okay. From a broadcast standpoint, sort of the look and feel, the people that we're used to hearing, people wondering about that as well. Does that stay pretty consistent?
We're one of the good things is the look and feel will be different, and we're excited about that because, you know, we had a partner for a long time, FanDuel TV, most recently, who controlled a lot of the production, and we didn't have the say in that production that we wanted. We're going to have more of a say in it from a talent perspective. You know, we're grateful, you know, Marcus and Lisa and continuing to be the voice in the face of what we're doing is important to us. But we're going to change some things. And for us, that's exciting. We're going to have more control over what our production looks like this year than we've had in 30 years. And what we are in the business of doing is obviously putting out a compelling basketball product, but we're in the entertainment business. So we want to put something together that really entertains our fans, whether they're a billionaire or at home. And we have more control over the entertainment aspect to our fans that are at home than we've ever had before.
Well, Summer League play begins in Vegas in a half hour, coincidentally, against the Miami Heat. And, of course, the Bucks and Heat forever linked in the trade that sent Giannis and Bobby Portis to Miami. Just sort of from an organizational standpoint, Josh, is it good to have clarity on where things stand? When you joined the Bucks roughly 6 months ago, it was kind of a pressure cooker, swirling with rumors and what might happen. And I don't even know if the ownership group knew how things were going to play out. But here we are today. The dust has settled in amicable parting of ways. Does it feel good to be on that hurdle? How do you compress it?
Yeah, listen, I think these things evolve over time. What I feel really good about is what we are building for in the future. And the goal has been since before I got here, since I've been here, is how do we put the most compelling product on the court and set ourselves up for sustainable success? And, you know, these things that ebb and flow in the game of basketball and the business of sport. And for the first time in a while, we've got real clarity on what our basketball team is looking like over the course of the next 6 months, and we're really excited about it. And we're really excited about, you know, under Taylor Jenkins' leadership, what we can do. And will there be growing pains? Of course. You know, John has talked about it. This is a hard decision to get to where we stand today. And we have a younger roster than we've had in a while. But that gives us an opportunity to get people to buy into our system, to build, and really set ourselves up for long-term success.
Well, you'll be able to watch a new-look Bucks team take the floor in Summer League play on Sunday against the Spurs on My24. Bucks games will air on over-the-air television. Josh Glessing, Bucks president, helped orchestrate the deal. He's on his way to Las Vegas. I can tell you this, it's 105, but the feels like it's 105. So it's a true 105, Josh. That's good.
Yes, I do want to say this because I actually think this is really, really important because I want to walk back one thing I said a little bit about the broadcast. So the look and feel of the Summer League games is not going to be the look and feel of our preseason and regular season games. This is we get the feed direct and we put it on. I don't want anyone to see it and say, oh no, this isn't what we're used to. This is a very different, we'll call it feed, than we'll get during the regular season. That's watching on Sunday.
Kind of down and dirty, right? You just get the game on TV and with your new TV partner and you, watch a little basketball.
It's funny. You use the technical term. The technical term is the dirty feed.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's exactly what it is. Well, Josh, I know this is...
And I'd be lying to you. I'd be lying to you if I told you I knew what that meant 6 months ago.
Well, good. A lot of learning and on the job training. Well, travel safe, Josh. It's an exciting announcement today. Good Karma Brands will have a role in helping build out that TV network for other areas of our state. And that's the goal here, to try and make it easy to find Bucks basketball for the upcoming season. Congratulations on getting this done. I know it's been a priority, and travel safe. We'll check in again soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I don't suppose you got a cookout planned for this weekend, do you, Telly?
Actually, I've been invited to a luau, so yes.
Really?
Yes, so Saturday, tomorrow, I will be outside.
Before we get that hula skirt ordered for you on Amazon and the coconut bra, I might remind you that you'll want to take a little extra care to avoid a parasite that's making life miserable for people in at least 18 states, including the state of Wisconsin.
There's no medication to prevent the illness caused by cyclosporiasis, and treatment once you're infected is aimed at managing the severe stomach bug symptoms. The outbreak has at least one fast food chain, Taco Bell, pulling tomatoes, lettuce, cilantro, and raw onions from its menu in hard-hit Michigan.
Now, that's ABC's Jim Ryan. So several hundred cases have been reported in Michigan. Dr. Ben Weston from the Medical College of Wisconsin describes cyclosporiasis and what it's all about.
We often see it during the summer. People get sick by food or water contaminated with the parasite. It's often through fresh produce. And symptoms usually begin about a week after you're exposed. Sometimes it can be as quick as 2 days or as late as 2 weeks. And the symptoms tend to be GI symptoms. We don't need to get into all sorts of gruesome detail, but as you can imagine, diarrhea, stomach upset. Those are the typical sort of things.
Yeah, explosive diarrhea. That's going to get you here, which will lead to dehydration and perhaps some other issues. But that is a main symptom. However, if you want to go back to the first part of our story, it's also a common end game of eating at Taco Bell. So you may not be sure exactly what you have if you got a little GI issue going on. But Dr. Weston adds, it's not contagious.
Most healthy individuals actually recover without any sort of treatment. They don't necessarily need the antibiotics. Your symptoms will resolve on their own from a few days. Sometimes it takes over a month, so maybe you do want the antibiotics to move things along, but it usually is self-limited and resolves on its own.
And get to that luau tell you. Make sure that pineapple's been washed. You make sure that tomatoes have been diced properly and washed. Make sure to wash your own hands before you get there.
Absolutely. I sure will.
Wash the fresh produce, keep it in the fridge to keep it a little bit fresher and avoid not just this, but also bacteria growth, things like that. And of course, washing your own hands. A lot of times we are the ones introducing this in. And so good hygiene before you're washing your fruits and vegetables, wash your hands before you eat, wash your hands, clean off surfaces. A lot of things like this, the alcohol-based hand sanitizers aren't quite as effective. They're better than nothing, to be sure. But soap and water is going to be much more effective in these cases.
You all set for your luau now?
Yeah, I think so.
I am also fascinated with the idea that you're going to a luau this weekend. I was not anticipating that answer, but I'm fascinated by it.
I just remembered, and it's a yearly thing, and my wife and I get invited to it, and it's really cool.
Okay.
It's a cool thing.
And got an outfit picked out?
Not yet, but I also got to make sure I don't repeat last year's outfit. So, yes, I got to get on that.
Okay, well, you do that. You can do it during the break.
It's Friday, which means it's time for Stories of the Strange on Wisconsin's Midday News.
So, Greg, my Stories of the Strange is surrounding this Giannis trade to Miami. So I think I've told you before, I have an older brother who is a news anchor in Miami, and he's been there for the past 20 years. So they are very excited about getting Giannis down to South FLA. And so he's calling me with all these updates once the trade went through and everything. So in Giannis's first appearance in Miami, he went on a live stream, and with this live streamer, he was talking about his number, and the live streamer says, all right, what number are you going to wear? And Giannis says, I don't know. You pick my number. What number do you think I should wear? And he says, I think you should wear number 7. Giannis says, that's the number I'll wear then. I'll wear number 7. Seems all harmless, right?
Not in the world of social media. That's not harmless.
So there's a few problems with that. This isn't JV basketball at your high school,
yeah, right,
and you could just change your number. First off, you got to let the Miami Heat know that you want to change your number, because they have already sold over 700 pre-ordered jerseys with Antetokounmpo and number 34 on the back of a Heat jersey. And this has never taken place, so you can't get that money back. So you're going to have maybe almost 1,000 people with this jersey that really isn't a jersey. And so I think next time Giannis needs to understand there's a lot of marketing and money that's involved when you change a number. You really have to give a year in advance, because you got to give these organizations enough time to stop manufacturing these jerseys. And so he did none of that. He made this decision basically on the fly, and the Miami Heat are thinking, I think you might need to tell us about this before.
Well, I saw it on social media right after Giannis and that trade was announced, him in a Heat jersey. I mean, really before that trade was announced, him in a Heat jersey with the number 34 were prominent. And over the last couple of days, I've seen some images with that Photoshop jersey having the number 7 on it.
Yes.
And it goes back to exactly what you're describing.
It's
ridiculous. Apparently 34 is not retired. I do remember Ray Allen wearing it for the Miami Heat. And, of course, he wore that for the Bucks as well.
Yes. And so wouldn't that be something that Giannis would come and take Ray Allen's number after him in two stops? And because now we all know that number 34 is going to hang from the rafters one day, and it's going to have Antetokounmpo on the back and not Allen.
That's true.
And so do you go to Miami and do the same thing there? And I think Ray Allen would be like, look, man, pick another number. And so that's what Giannis did. And also, this is just a side note. The number seven was already given to their second round prick, Ryan Conwell. Wow. So, but that doesn't matter. They're going to just take that from him. But again, how much money did the Miami Heat lose by Giannis just spontaneously changing his number?
Telly, have you ever cut off your genitals and used them as kindling to start a fire in your mom's garage?
Not recently.
Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hello. Fort Wayne Fire Department was called to an incident about 2 in the morning on May 6th inside a detached garage behind the house of a young woman, or a mother, I should say. Christopher Peden is her son, a 36-year-old man from Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's charged with felony arson after admitting to cutting off his own penis and using it to start a garage fire. Yep, that's what happened. Doused it in gasoline, lit the fire ablaze, and there we go. Peden, that is his last name, I'm not making that up, wandered away from the scene and he was bleeding. Not shocking. He initially claimed, when he was found by fire and police officials, to be a victim of a random stabbing in downtown Fort Wayne. However, after being rushed to the hospital by medics, Peden confessed that he had been dishonest. He wanted to tell the truth, admitting to the self-mutilation and arson. Investigators at the scene recovered several items, but not one. A burned red plastic gasoline container was found, 4 lighters, a kitchen knife near the origin of the fire. He's being held on $10,000 bond and scheduled for a hearing in court in Allen County in the days to come. Maybe just start with a finger, maybe. You know what I mean? Just start with a finger. Just start with a finger.
Peden was bleeding, and they couldn't find out why.
That's exactly it.